This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Raise Your Game. I'm Tasha Fusil. To celebrate International Women's Day, which was yesterday, March the 8th, we get into the hearts and minds of our favorite CEOs to find out what it's like and what it takes to be the ultimate lady boss. This week, we speak to Adeline Fu, the founder of the Automotive College. So how did Adeline, who at the time was a fresh graduate from a performing arts college, find herself helming an institution for automotive and motorsport education?
It was a chance meeting, an opportunity for me to start the college. I was supposed to be in partnership with someone who actually has experience starting the college, but their company direction changed. So a year later, it was a decision for me to make on whether I continue this path or learn something new. And at that moment, 13 years ago, I decided to, yes, I can continue on this path, although I know nuts about it.
Exactly. And that's the crazy thing is that you knew nothing about that industry. You didn't study engineering. You didn't study business.
Yes. Okay. I did not study any of those.
So, I mean, what gave you the confidence to do it anyway?
I think it's knowing what is right and what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about changing lives. And I think all of us are born into this world not having a manual to live life as well. So nothing is impossible. It's your values in life on what you think is important. And to me, automotive technicians are car doctors and they are very, very, very important part of our lives. If they don't do a good job, my entire family can die. So I actually have lots of respect for car technicians and I think the respect that they get from society is not enough and I want to change that. I want them to earn money as much as a doctor would.
There are a lot of assumptions or a lot of stereotypes about this particular industry, one being, of course, that it's a very male-dominated industry. What has that experience been like for you to come in? Have you ruffled any feathers as a female going into this business? Or is it just something that people don't really focus too much of their attention on?
I get a mix of both. I've had all men in the industry who thinks that I'm a girl and I'm not good enough. I've got men who welcome a girl coming into the industry. So it's both. I think at the end of the day is sexism really is not because of whether you're a guy or a girl. It's your level of education or mindset. So you can have a sexist guy and you can have also a sexist girl who thinks that a girl's job is to be at home and carry slippers.
How do you respond to that? I mean, is that something that you've had to address in the 13 years that you've been working at TOC?
If it ever comes up, I'll try to be as factual as I can about it, that look, I'm scolding you because you didn't do your job, not because I am having PMS. I would treat you like how a guy boss would treat you as well, not because I'm crazy or emotional. That said, I still think that being emotional is a good thing. It makes me real and it makes me a person, same like you and I.
So tell me what it was like in the initial phase of starting out TOC when you had to step into that leadership role. I'm sure it was daunting.
It's tough. I mean, it's like going into a new house and you don't know where the switches are and you're just learning every wall. So the learning curve is very steep. But at the end of the day, it's wanting to achieve the end result that you want. And the end result that I want is to build a great life for car doctors. So everything that I need to learn in between leads me up to that. And if something is not done, you just go do it lah. Correct or not?
Yeah. Okay. As a lady boss, do you feel like you have to present yourself in a different way? Or, well, not even just as, you know, putting gender aside, authenticity is a very important part of being a good leader. And I feel like, you know, that's something that you have in spades. But is that something that, you know, takes time to cultivate or have you been this way since day one?
I think being authentic is also not something that is different between the genders. It's just whether you are authentic or you're not. So we will have equal fake guys or fake girls.
Right.
Fake girls are people I cannot tahan when I was in secondary school. You have sometimes those fake people that you really cannot deal with. So being authentic is who you are and what you're parents teach you on what is right and what is not right to be. So I think I'm authentic, not because I'm a female. I just am authentic because of who I am.
Yeah, on the flip side, are there traits that you think you've developed particularly well because you're a female?
If people say that being female are more emotional, I think I do that part very well because I'm real. What you see is what you get. If I'm unhappy about you, I will tell you I'm unhappy about you and I won't smile in front of you. So yeah, don't piss me off. But that said, I think being real is also means that you don't need to stroke my ego. If this job needs to get done, it just needs to get done because it's the right thing to do, not because I want you to tell me what a great boss I am. So I think those are traits of who I am, la. Not so much that I'm a female or I'm not, it's just of who I am.
So at the end of the day, it's the individual personality traits that make significant difference than gender-based differences.
Yeah, I think the only difference between the gender is their physical makeup, and that can affect some emotions and how they deal with things or how they think of things or the choices that they make. Otherwise, really, there's not much difference between the gender.
Okay, and what about in terms of communicating to your team? Like, when it comes to a communication style, what's your approach like?
I've tried both the nice way and the not so nice way. Somehow to get performance depends on who you deal with. Some people who will take advantage of you being nice, unfortunately, you'll have to deal with them in very straight style, whether you did it or you did not perform to the level that you are supposed to perform. So I've tried both, but I think that would be the same for a guy boss as well.
Okay, so we'll put aside the idea of gender. Let's talk about decision making. What's your approach when it comes to making decisions? Are you a deliberator or are you a on the spot go?
I deliberate, but I don't spend too much time on it if it requires that a decision be made. I think I am very good at making decisions when I need to. So it's, yeah, after deliberating on all the pros and cons, it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be a black and white situation where you don't actually need to think. If it's so straightforward, then you don't need to deliberate in the first place. So there's always going to be pros and cons to different choices. But at the end of the day, you still have to make a choice. So it's never perfect, but you have to make the best choice that you can. So I am both. But I am very proud that I can make decisions, which I feel that maybe some bosses tend to not dare make decisions.
Can you share an example, perhaps?
Work-life balance, for example. It's not so straightforward. It's not to say that you would be able to do your best at work or you do your best in life. It is a trade-off. I choose to not have social gatherings outside office hours with clients because I prioritize spending those time with my family. Does it mean that I will not be able to do the best for my job? Yes, it does. Those social gatherings might have been important, but am I willing to then do the best for my job and not do anything at all for my children? No, I'm not willing to make that trade-off. So sometimes people know about these things and they delay making that decision. And it's 10 years later and your kids are all grown up and they don't need you anymore. So if you have to make a decision, you make it there and then and just weigh your choices and make it. Mm. Yeah, don't delay it, because eventually you need to make it.
Right. Have there been any decisions that you've made that have sort of resulted in epic failures?
All the time, I think. I mean, everything at work or at home is an experiment. So dealing with staff, for example, sometimes you deal with them nicely and then they shit on top of your head. But it's not something that happens like once, right? It's something that happens again and again, and then you realize that, oh, it's the wrong choice to have made to be nice. But sometimes when you are not nice, then it could sometimes also create really bad results because it is an experiment and you don't know sometimes what best to practice on a particular person in a particular situation. It's so I make mistakes all the time in the office, but yeah, it's the willingness to change course when you realize that it's a mistake and not continue on because you're afraid that people would say that, oh, you see, she admit that she made a mistake. It's okay, you know, I can fail, no problem. I don't need to put on a show that I succeed all the time. I'd be crazy to succeed all the time.
Adeline Fu, the founder of the Automotive College and one of the lady bosses that we're featuring every Wednesday of this month in celebration of International Women's Day. What sort of qualities does Adeline look for in her team? We'll find out when we return in just a bit here on Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Raise Your Game. I'm Tasha Fasil. March 8th was International Women's Day, and to pay homage to this day and to the wonderful women who are out there, we'll be speaking to some lady bosses who are leading the charge in their respective industries. This week, we've got Adeline Fu, the founder of the Automotive College. Now, just before, we were talking about how Adeline started out, what she's like as a boss, how she communicates, makes decisions. Adeline, what about when it comes to spotting talent? When you're looking for people to join your team, what sort of values do you look out for?
I look for people in my team who are real, who are authentic, who has one face, not smile in front of you and kill you behind your back. I want people who has a lot of respect and self-initiative. I don't like to micromanage, so I like to be a kingmaker. I want to make you king, but that's a lot of responsibilities on your shoulders as well. Being a king could either make you a good king or a really bad one that, you know, keeps all the gold to yourself. So in a situation like that, there's always bound to be a risk for you to become a really bad king and for me to have made a really bad decision.
So in that sort of scenario, what do you do? I mean, like, if you've got an employee that's sort of gone down the wrong course, would you try to rechart the course for him? Or would you just say, do you know when to cut your losses when it comes to situations like that?
At the end of the day, I feel that I'm a mother, an educator. I can teach you to do the right thing, but it's up to you whether you want to learn or you don't want to learn. So if I see that you still want to learn, I will teach you until you are able to learn something. But in my second attempt to teach you and you have that wall and tell me that, no, you know everything and you don't want to learn anymore, maybe you don't need to say it. From your face, I can tell whether you want to learn or not. And then I would stop. Because at the end of the day, you're not my child. I have a responsibility to my own kids, but you're not my kid. So if I want to teach you and you don't want to learn, then yeah, that's the door.
In terms of motivating and inspiring your team, is that something that weighs on you at the forefront of your mind? Or is it more of like an organic process, something that you embody rather than say out loud?
I think inspiring someone else is not something that you can do. You either inspire or you don't inspire. So I am not conscious about what I do to make a speech to inspire you. I am who I am and I fight for something that I believe in. I have certain values and I have certain priorities. If you like me for who I am, then I am an inspiration to you automatically. But if you don't believe in the things that I believe in, then no matter what I say, you're not going to be inspired. So I shouldn't waste time as well.
Trying to convince you.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you take leadership lessons from anyone?
Yes, all the time. I look up to my parents. I look up to my mentors. I look up to my team members who work with me at the college or whom I meet in associations or in schools that I go to. I want to learn all the time. And I'm a Google queen, my sister calls me. I Google things all the time.
As a mentor to others, what kind of guidance and advice do you think people look for when they come to you?
Sometimes I meet people who come to me that, oh, they have this dilemma and they can't make a decision. So I would teach them how to weigh the pros and cons and then make a decision. Sometimes they're scared to make it because they're worried about the consequences of making it. But look, at the end of the day, you make a decision, you live and die with it. So there are going to be consequences. Either you make decision A or decision B. But you cannot just sit on the fence and not make anything. So yeah, I think I'm good at that. I would have friends and family coming to me to just talk. I think I'm a good listener and I am genuinely interested in helping you, making you feel happy. I think that's my job in life, to make others happy if you want me to. Yeah. So I think I'm nice that way. I give genuine love if you want it.
If you have a bad day, like if you have a bad experience at work or a bad event, does that sort of affect you?
I think I'm objective. If I have a problem at work, usually it's a problem with someone, then my anger is only directed at someone. I wouldn't then redirect that anger to the people at home. So I think I'm quite objective that way. I'm still cheery. Maybe I look tired and maybe I don't talk so much. But yeah, I won't get angry at my family because I have a tough day at work.
And speaking of you being at home, what are you like as a lady boss at home?
I'm not a lady boss at home. I think that's the key. My separation of work and life is okay. I'm quite good at compartmentalizing my life. So my persona at work is that I need to do this, 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 and I need you to do this, this, this. But when I'm at home, I'm a mother and a wife and a mother and a sister and a daughter. And I'm that to the family. So I don't boss people around in the house. Yeah.
So what are you like then, you know, when it comes to, because for some reason, especially when I look at my dad, I always wonder, do you manage us the same way you manage like people at work? That's something that always crosses my mind. And sometimes I see it and sometimes I'm like, no, he's way too nice to us. And I don't know whether he would be like that at work, because I don't know whether you can possibly run a successful company if you're the same ways both at home and at work.
Yeah, but at work, there are KPIs to achieve. At home, really?
So you don't set KPIs for your kids?
I do some, like for example, if you want to earn your pocket money to school, you have to do things at home. So you have to help out with cleaning, with dishes, with setting the table for dinner, washing your own shoes. If not, you did not earn your pocket money. So those are things that we make them do, really to make them independent human beings. That's really the KPI. But apart from that, spending time with the family, really is just spending time with them and being a mother to them, listening to their stories, which has absolutely no relevance to your life. But you listen to them and you laugh with them and you ask them silly questions that you think that they want you to ask and be interested. I think it's the same thing. You in the office, you have to listen to your staff and be interested in what they're telling you, and not while they're telling you things, you're signing checks or you're doing other things or you're answering emails and you're not really paying attention to them. So whether in the office, in life or in the house, you pay attention to the people who are giving you time, because if you don't pay attention to them, they won't bother coming to you anymore.
And so just to end, Women's International Day for this year, the theme is gender parity. So what are your thoughts on equality at the workplace? Is it something that you give a lot of conscious thought to?
Honestly, don't give any conscious thought as to what race I hire or what nationality or what gender. If you can do the job, go do it. But if they start coming in and want to put their values on other people and label other people on what people can do and cannot do, then they have a problem with me. At the end of the day, it's what you promised me that you would do. Again, it goes back to respect. you have given me your word. You promised me that you would do these. So don't lie to me and not do them. I think that's just simple exchange of promises and deliverables. Yeah, I don't think of it so much as work. It's just something that you said that you would do, and so go do it. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Same at home and at work as well.
It's the same. It's really how humans are. That's what life is.
Nice. Okay, I think on that note we can. And thank you so much,
Thank
Adeline.
You so much for asking me to be here.
No problem. Thank it you. Was such a pleasure. Adeline Fu, the founder of the Automotive College and a featured lady boss right here on Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.